Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. In Deuteronomy 31, and in verse 8, the Word of God says, "And the Lord, He it is that goeth before thee. He will be with thee, He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee, fear not, neither be dismayed." A couple of weeks ago, we preached a message titled, "Because God Loves You." And we're going to continue along the same idea, except with something of a different emphasis. You see, God gave you promises. He started out in the garden, and He continues all the way through the eternal reign with His promises. And He gave them to you because He loves you. God took Israel out of Egypt for one simple reason. Because He loved them. It wasn't because they were great. And it wasn't because they were entirely righteous. And it wasn't because of their great faith. It was because He loved them. And this is the way that God operates with us. That God will take us out of Egypt, if you will. God will take us out of the world. God will take us out of our tribulations. Although He introduces the tribulation, He also removes it when its work has been done. And He takes you where He takes you, and He does what He does for the simple reason of because He loves you. Now, sometimes that's really hard for me to understand as a believer. Sometimes I don't like it. More than once, I have known that God wanted something from me, and I responded because I knew He wanted it. But it wasn't what I would have picked for myself, because I didn't know the end from the beginning. And there were times, as a matter of fact, entering into this call here and leaving the previous place where I was, where I didn't want it. I didn't like it. I liked where I was. But I didn't know the end from the beginning. And so there will be times in our lives as believers where God does things for one very simple reason, although we just don't understand. It's because He loves us. He took Israel out of Egypt, and Israel was terrified. And He said to them, "And the Lord, He it is that goes before thee. He will be with thee, He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." This is your life. Now, you may or you may not believe that. But even if you do not believe that, your unbelief does not leave God anything less than absolutely faithful. It's not up to me to believe. It's up to Him to do and to will all His good pleasure. And yes, it is important that I trust Him, but that is not the deciding factor. Why? Because He loves you. Israel was taken out of bondage because God loved them, but He brought them to the Red Sea. And the Red Sea seemed so terrible because they were certain they were going to die. Because the Egyptians were right on their tail. What did God do? He didn't just part the Red Sea. We often talk about parting the Red Sea, but we forget the other part that allowed them to actually get away. Do you know how long it might take for 2 million people to move through the Red Sea? That's not something you're going to get done in 10 minutes. That's not something you're going to get done in one day. There was more to just parting the Red Sea. There was the presence of God protecting them. What did He do? He put the pillar of fire between the Israelites and the Egyptians. And the pillar of fire established the time when the Egyptians would be able to follow the Israelites. The pillar of fire made sure there was enough time for the Israelites to get across. Because the Egyptians were afraid of the pillar of fire. I don't know about you, but I would be too. And so God took care of Israel, even though it looked completely, utterly hopeless, because they were walking in the call of God. Why did He take care of them? Because He loved them. It's that plain, that simple. God took care of them because He loved them. There's so many circumstances and details that go on in our lives that really we don't have any clue what the resolution will be. But I will assure you of this one thing. God will take care of it because He loves you. And if you have a need, you can be absolutely certain that God will provide for that need. And you may have no clue how it came about. It may look completely ridiculous. It may look completely like it's not going to come through for you. If you have a need, God will provide for your need. And that much you can take to the bank. I don't know how He'll do it. I don't know how He'll do it in my life. I certainly don't know how He'll do it in yours. But I do know that He'll do it. Why? Because He loves you. He's going to go before you in the details of your life, in the steps of your life. He's going to go before you. And as He's going before you, He's going to be with you, and He will not fail you, and He will not forsake you. So don't be afraid, and don't be dismayed. You have a God who loves you. He doesn't care what your ability is. Because really, what is my ability to the one who spoke the universe into being? But He'll take care of you because He loves you. Even if I backslide in my life, even if I should get everything wrong, even if I utterly fail and fall on my face, He's not going to forsake me. In Isaiah 45 verse 2, He said, I will go before you and I will make the crooked places straight. He's talking to an extremely backslidden nation. A nation that has utterly turned their backs on Him, utterly turned their backs on the ways of God, utterly turned their backs on the Word of God. They did not want anything to do with God. They went after the idols. And He said, I'm going to make your crooked places straight because I'm going before you. If you are ever facing a situation that you think is way too much for you, know this. God's going to go before you and He's going to make the crooked places straight. And if you should happen to get in a place of bondage, whether it's through religion or sin, and they're really just two sides of the same coin, self-production or self-destruction, then He says in verse 2 of Isaiah 45, I will break in pieces the gates of brass, religion, and I will cut asunder the bars of iron, sin. And no matter what it is that you're held in bondage to, God's going to destroy it. And the funny thing is, you may not even want Him to. God's not worried about if you like your bondage. God's going to simply take you out of it. Because He knows it's bondage even when I don't. No matter where you are in your life, God is going to be utterly faithful. in Exodus 14:14. When the times come in your life where you feel like you have to fight, don't fight. You see, the Lord says He will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Why, as a believer, can I hold my peace? Because the Lord will fight for me. No matter what it is, whether it's persecution, whether it's people, whether it's yourself, whether it's your circumstances, whether it's details mounting up one after another so much that you feel like you can't handle another detail, just hold your peace. And God will fight for you. You see, there is in Isaiah 54:17 no weapon that is formed against you that can prosper. Even if you form the weapon yourself. There is no weapon that can prosper. Why? Because you're in Christ. And so long as you're in Christ, what can go against God? I think sometimes we believers really do tend to forget this, that we're in Christ. That means something. And it means a whole lot more than merely being saved. It means that the work is finished. It doesn't just mean that I'm forgiven, although it absolutely means I'm forgiven. Also means that God will utterly restore me. Also means that God has a plan for my life. Also means that it's up to Him to make the plan happen. You ever notice that when God has a plan for you, you often don't get it? And you don't really know how it is. You might just have a sense of what it is. But you don't even know how you're going to get there. It's okay. Because He knows how you're going to get there. You ever have a situation in your life you can't handle it. And you just want to throw your arms up and quit and walk away. Just hold your peace. And God will fight that battle. You see, I think the one place where we really tend to lose it as believers is trusting His character. And we don't even know that we do it. But any time that I doubt, any time that I fear, any time that I worry, any time I'm anxious, any time that negativity sets in, any time any of these types of things take place, it's because I'm not building myself up in the love of God. Without building myself up in the love of God, my faith will not be operational. And though there may be 7,832 promises in the Bible, I won't be able to trust them. Because I won't trust the One who gave them. You see, sometimes we as people think we trust people. If you think you're trusting a person, you're already in trouble. Sometimes we feel like we can put somebody on a pedestal. People used to do this to Pastor Stevens a lot. They put him on a pedestal. Do you know what happens when you put someone on a pedestal? You set them up for a perceived failure. And then when they don't meet up to your expectations, which were simply imaginary, then you will see in them imaginary failures. By putting someone on a pedestal, they cannot win. And ultimately, I will be disappointed with them. Because my imagination is far greater than their humanity. If you want to put someone up on a pedestal, put the Savior there. Because He's the only one who belongs there. You see, if I put somebody up on a pedestal, and then I realize that they do not meet my standards of perfection, I won't trust them. But you know what? It's God you're not trusting. Because they were never in truth on a pedestal. Only in your imagination. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Me included. And you too. Don't put your expectations on anyone other than God. Because He's the only one who can meet your expectations. Nobody else can. You see, I think it's really interesting that He said, you're going to hold your peace and God will fight for you. Because how often is it that we think that somebody else will? And not that I so much think, oh, this person will be God in my life, but when I do that to somebody, I think, oh, you will be God in my life. They're not able. And all of a sudden, when they don't meet that plateau, I say, well, I don't trust them. I've got news for you. Your premise was wrong to begin with. All they are is human. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with being human. We were made that way. If we weren't to be human, God would have created us as something else. My insufficiency is not God's insufficiency. And my insufficiency is in truth only a perception, not a reality. Because I do have a sufficiency, and that sufficiency is Christ. You see, the thing is, if I'm putting somebody else on a pedestal, I'm putting myself beneath a pedestal. And God didn't create us different. He didn't create us equal either. When He dealt with Adam and He dealt with Eve, He dealt with them at the same time. He didn't create them that different. But yet, each joint needs the other. I remember when my shoulder dislocated. That was one tough night. You know, I didn't hate my shoulder. I didn't say, oh, shoulder, you are so mighty. How could you do this to me? You know what I said? Exactly. And then some. Guys, if we're going to live in faith, if we're going to trust God, you know how it's going to show up? We love one another. Why do I say that? Because that's the fruit of the Spirit. There is no place for me to point a finger. The only finger I can point is to Satan and to the cross. But there is no place for me to point a finger. Why? Because then I'm not living in reality. Love one another. By this you will know that you are my disciples. Now I ask you, is there any other way to know that you are a disciple that is given in the Word of God? Well, then the solution is simple. Love one another. When you deal with someone, when you approach someone, deal with them after God's heart. Because God does. And God knows that I definitely do not want to deal with someone in opposition to God's heart. When you talk to people, even if they are your enemies, talk to them with the character of God. But I will tell you this, there is no pretense possible and still have it be the fruit of the Spirit. I can pretend to love someone and in my heart hate them. And the Word of God calls that hiding in a lie, making a lie my refuge. The problem isn't them. The problem is I still don't know the love of God. See, because while we were yet sinners, Christ died. And we were counted His enemies when He died. But yet, somehow we believers cannot bring ourselves beyond ourselves to love our enemies. And I'm not even talking about our friends. By the way, if you think your friends are those who make no mistakes, I have news for you. You have no friends. So if you're going to have any friend at all, you're going to have to come to grips with the fact that sometimes they'll make mistakes. Oh, but then I don't trust them. Well, then you don't have a friend. I trust that person. They haven't made a mistake. They will. By the way, it's not so much whether they are your friend as whether you are theirs. Because while we were yet His enemies, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died. This is how you relate to people. And in this relationship to people, you know what you find happens in your heart? The love of God is shed abroad. You're going to find out that as you are pouring out, God is pouring through you. You're going to find out that as you are pouring out, all of a sudden healing comes. You know the best thing to do with someone who is unkind toward you? In your own heart, love them as God loves them. That is the healthiest thing for your emotions and your psyche. Not in pretense, but in genuine Holy Spirit fruit. Because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. This is how you relate to people. You don't have to know what to say. You just need God's heart. You talk to somebody who goes through a difficult problem. Maybe somebody's loved one has died and you don't know what to say. You know what? They don't need you to say anything. They just need you to love them with God's love. Sometimes there are believers who will refuse to do this. They know they should, but they refuse because of pride. Do you know what happens? That is the most pitiful of all people. And that's not in a disparaging way. That is, honestly, they are to be the most pitied among all people. Because they will never actually have the experience, so long as that pride is there, of the love of God. Grace is not for the perfect. It's for the imperfect. You know what? I'd rather be a forgiven sinner than one who knows no forgiveness. I'd rather be one who needs the love of God than one who does not know the love of God. I'd rather be the one who has to receive mercy for his next step than never receive mercy at all. Why? It's the nature of God. The overcomer is not the one who got it right. It's the one who got it wrong and then overcame it. That's the one who gets the morning star. And sometimes maybe they didn't even get it wrong. Sometimes maybe I just don't understand. Sometimes they did. But you know what? The solution is the same. It doesn't matter. The blood was shed for a reason. So relate to people according to the blood. Pastor Stevens said something one time. It was a very good statement. It was regarding marriages. He said, the biggest reason why marriages end in divorce is because someone did not understand the finished work. That's it right there. It's not because someone failed. It's because someone didn't understand the finished work. Why? Because I'll guarantee in your life, and I'll guarantee even in your marriage, there will be elements of failure. God forbid they be severe, but they could be. But they will come. And if that person that you are married to was put on a pedestal in your heart, they're going to come crashing down in your heart. And you know why they'll come crashing down? Because you pulled the pedestal out from under them. How did you do that? Because they didn't live up to your imagination. There's one thing about idols and illusions. There's one thing about imaginations. They don't exist. You want to imagine that somebody is a certain way? They're only that way in your imagination. And if you try to picture them as perfect, then you've taken away any hope that they have. Because that is one thing they cannot be. When you deal with people, don't deal with them after their imperfections. And don't deal with them after your own either. Deal with them after the finished work. Because they need it just as much as you do. As your pastor, I'm telling you now, and I don't think this is the case, but just in case it is, especially the young people, if you're putting me on a pedestal, take me down as fast as possible. I don't want to be there. Why? Because I'll guarantee you that I'll lose your friendship. Why? I can't live up to your imaginations. I'm human. And you know what? You can't live up to mine. And so I don't have them. If you have a friend you are putting on a pedestal, or young people, your parents, you're putting them up on a pedestal, take them down as fast as possible. Disappointment comes for only one reason. Misappointment. I appointed you unto perfection, and now I am disappointed in you. Well, then you were the only one. How many people here, show of hands, feel your perfection? Honestly. Show of hands, how many people here feel your perfection? Then don't feel anybody else's either. Because I know I don't feel mine. And I know you don't feel yours. So let's just make an agreement right now. And I'm not so much talking to you as individuals, I'm talking principle. Let's just agree to love one another as Christ has loved us. But if you are married, agree, love your spouse as Christ has loved you. If you are in a family, love the people in the family as Christ has loved you. And then you'll know how to relate. It's very simple how to relate to people after the finished work. The blood of Christ was applied, and only there is the perfection. But it's not in their humanity, it's in God's mercy. Hey, how many people here would like to be conformed to the image of Christ? Show of hands. Well, I've got news for you. He's going to set it in your life to be conformed to His image, whether you want to or not. And it's good that you want to. But even if you didn't, it's going to happen. You know why? Because you don't own you. He does. And you may think you're the final authority in your life, but you're wrong. It's like that couple. God called them to Africa and they went to Florida. They went to Florida because they were afraid for their children. In Florida, their children died. Then they went to Africa. God owns you. That's something I learned a long time ago. It doesn't make much of a hill of beans a difference what I think of anything. It's not up to me. And the sooner that a believer learns that, the happier they'll be. But when you relate to people, relate to them according to the character of God, according to the fruit of the Spirit. You know why? If for no other reason, the fruit of the Spirit feels better than its lack. So even if I am to take a completely self-centered attitude toward it, I'll feel better with the fruit of the Spirit. I feel like garbage without it. Better to go with the fruit of the Spirit. This is how you relate to people, according to the fruits of the Spirit. This is how you know you're a disciple, that the fruit of the Spirit is in you and flows through you. Without the fruit of the Spirit, am I a disciple? Not yet. I still need to be weaned. But that's okay. God will get me there. I can trust Him for that. See, no matter what it is, He's going to take care of it. And it doesn't matter if it's a person, a thing, or myself. He's going to take care of it. And you know what? He's going to take care of you too, whether you want Him to or not. And you can run. I've seen people run out of churches. When I was first saved, I've seen a young woman who did that. Good friend of mine, some of you know the story. Won her to Christ. She worked with me in the photo lab in college. She ran and she ran and she ran, because she was wanting and wanting and wanting. she didn't do well to run. But you know what? Even if she never gets right in her life, and I don't know if she had or not, she's still going home. And God's still going to win. And so is she. See, there is only one way to win. And that's to take on Christ's victory. And Christ's victory is going to come in my life. Even if I want the defeat. That's the amazing thing. Ahab found that. Ahab, the most evil king there was, killed the prophets because of his wife. His demonic wife. Didn't have the guts, the backbone to stand up and be a man. But you know what happened in the end? God won in his life. And even Saul, the confession that the Word of God says about him in the end was a good one. God's always going to win. The only question is, am I going to go along with God's ride or Satan's ride? And I might think I'm only going with my ride, but I'm utterly deceived. It's like that friend of mine who read the Satanic Bible. That was very sobering what he said. He's a Christian, loves God. But before he was a Christian, he read it. You know what the Satanic Bible said the number one thing? Wasn't to be nasty, wasn't to be wicked, wasn't to be evil. Was to be self-centered. It's all about you. That's not a winning road. The good thing is, even if I find myself there, God will still win. Because even if that's where my mentality is today, He's going to turn my heart so that tomorrow I'll be right. Even if I don't want to. I don't know what's coming in your lives. But I'll tell you one thing. It'll be God's plan. Whatever it happens to be, it'll be God's plan. Amen? You know?